I might title this Steve Just Hits Record, part 3 or 4 or 5. Anything like that. Okay, I'm live. Well, live, pre-recorded, pre-taped, but I'm going to put this out time shifted by only a millisecond in the scheme of eternity. Anyway, I'm Steve Levitt, the host of the Language of Creativity podcast. If you're new joining me, this is one of those rare episodes where I reflect by myself. And I rarely do that because I like to reflect myself and others. One of the things that I enjoy the most about doing interviews is exploring spaces together and seeing the reflections of other artists' work in what we do as various media or otherwise creatives who work in a number of different focuses. So my hope with the show is that a painter could teach something or to share something that a musician could learn from, or that a chef could share something that you learn from in your writing practice or in your poetry. So that is kind of the point of the Language of Creativity podcast. But ultimately, the reason I started it was because I wanted to share my voice and my experience of the world and being artistic and emotive and noticing the subtle connections between all different layers of life and how consciousness expresses itself creatively in this world we find ourselves in our inner worlds, in our artistic expressions, in our music, in our paintings. And so this podcast was an opportunity for me to take a break from the world of music. And you know, part of what I do is carefully curating the recorded music experience. So the day I started this podcast, we were editing guitar on a project called Lobate Scarp. And I was with my friend Adam, and we decided, I said to him, hey, you know, before we get started today in this editing thing, do you want to record a podcast? I've been thinking about starting a podcast. So Adam said, sure, what is it about? And so we chatted for a minute, we sat down in front of the microphones, and I kid you not, within the first 60 seconds, he just sort of like came up with a name for the show. It's like, why don't you call it the language of, well, you're going to talk about this and, you know, that and the other thing. And we'll call it the language of creativity. The magic of that moment was that I was not sure how to tie together all of my diverse interests. And it was incredible how creativity as a concept sort of merged together the idea of the liminal, the creative, the artistic, the musical, the philosophical, the how to do life better, the spiritual and transcendent aspects of everything. And this led me to some of the work of the others in the creativity field who are very well known, like Julia Cameron, or I think it was like Chicken Soup for the Creative Soul. I forget the name of the author. There's so many authors that talk about creativity and the idea that every single person is born creative. Even if you're not an artist per se, even if you don't, or even if, let's say, you just have photography as a hobby, right? We all not just need creative outlets, but we also all are like an expression of life unfolding itself through the creative act. By the way, a title of a really great Rick Rubin book, who has a very unorthodox approach to music producing, talking about being a music producer, as I am. There's the approach where you know, sort of take everything and you say, this is what we're going to do, that's what we're going to do. Or his approach is just sort of to open a channel, like open a space for that creativity to occur and to create an environment whereby the inspiration can flow. And he says, and I've heard many artists say this, that if you have something that comes to you as a creative idea, that if you don't do that thing, if you don't express that thing, that it's going to come to the world through somebody else. And I have found this to be true. I've had so many ideas as an ENFP, which is like the Sparkle Rainbow Unicorn idea person of the Myers-Briggs. Sorry, not the Enneagram. We'll talk about that later. I'm sure I'll geek out about all of it. But as someone who is just an idea person. And, you know, you have so many ideas, but I lack the practical, linear, step-by-step, logical side to get those things done. And I have talked to musicians, for example, who are the more like practical, logical, linear side, maybe in their more personality, and they have said to me, like, I would trade all these years of practice that I have for the spontaneity and the ideas that you have creatively. Like, I wish I could just pick up my instrument and come up with something. And I'm like, you can, of course you can. But I think we take for granted how that is something that is a part of very unique, special thing that makes us individually unique. Now, I don't mean that to say that, you know, we're different from other people or somehow better. But I really do believe that everybody has that potential inside them, even the most like linear and, you know, left-brained side. Often, I think it's interesting, a big point of my podcast when I started this in 2018 was it seemed the world was kind of geared towards the left brain, like, show up, do your work, you know, go home on the weekend and party kind of mindset. And being someone who is trying to make it in a creative field, you have to be entrepreneurial. You have to like reinvent the wheel a certain number of times. You have to figure it out as you go along. And that's exciting to me. Like, I don't think I could live a life where I'm in a 9-to-5 job and it's the same thing day in, day out. I know for some people that fills their cup. But for me, that was always, you know, that would be like soul death for me. And I know others that I'm friends with who have the same feeling as like, like that is just the worst thing I can possibly imagine, is being stuck at the same job for 30 years and just getting my retirement, right? Money's great. I mean, the paycheck, don't get me wrong. I would totally love a consistent paycheck, something like universal basic income where it's like, hey, your rent's paid, you know, you have enough food, whatever, just go do something valuable for society. I mean, to me, that's kind of Star Trek. But, you know, it's interesting to watch how in the last 8 years or so, the world has changed to really favor the content creators and the creative types. It has become more and more celebrated, more and more needed, and more differentiated. And this was predicted in a book by Daniel Pink about the right-brainers inheriting the world. It was called, I'll remember the book title in a minute, but I've often referenced that on the podcast. And what's interesting is that even beyond that now, we've seen a shift with artificial intelligence starting to come in and various things where the first thing to get disrupted in the space with artificial intelligence was right-brain fields, things like DALL-E. And the video generator that Adobe came up with, things like ChatGPT that are really good at coming up with poems and stories and these kind of things, but they don't yet do practical stuff very well. They don't do math. They don't follow logic as well. And so it's interesting. I see, just a tangent a little bit, I see AI as sort of this, like, currently a really cool window into how consciousness works, how our brains work, and the computer scientists are beginning to understand the apparatuses that help a digital consciousness solve problems, things that we have in our brains, like the ability to have an inner dialogue, to talk back and forth with ourselves. And so what they've done is they've taken various chatbot agents and they've given them jobs. One is the coder developer, another one is the quality checker, another one is the project manager or CEO. And they will all talk to each other and they will improve upon ideas until they're workable and actually real world application, like can do things. And so, you know, it's interesting because as I think about being a creative in the 21st century, a big part of it, my experience as a person in music was coming into music about the time where the home computer revolution had kind of made it possible for a single person to make everything. And I often felt like as an extroverted person that I lacked the energy, like, or the creative, I would get burnt out on trying to do everything by myself, especially when I'm kind of a polymath a little bit. I'm good at, you know, editing video. I'm good at creative ideas. I can do writing. I can, you know, manage brands and do those kinds of things. And I can make the music. I can edit the music. I can arrange the music. I can play the music to some degree. And it just, at some point, there's just too much. Like, if you're going to do something, especially if you're ambitious and you want to make something really big, really cool, there just seems to be this like upper limit problem of like, I cannot wear all the hats. And so for me, what that turned into was this sort of search to see how could we, like, obviously the opportunities are abundant now with the software and technologies to start your own business and to have tools like never before, like Asana for project management and the online media, the funnels and the various things to drive sales and, you know, CRMs and all this jargon, you know, stuff. It's like stuff that you really couldn't do before that the software tools allow you to do yourself. But the problem is that you have to do everything yourself. And I've talked to many, many songwriters and many, many musicians and artists who find themselves in this like trap where suddenly it's because nobody else is going to do the marketing for you. No one else is going to go on social media for you. You have to go and do that. And suddenly it's like, that's your full-time job. And where does the creative practice fit in? Where does the personal, you know, growth, you know, the reflection time that it takes, the downtime that it takes to really incubate creativity, where does that fit in a world where you still got to pay your bills, you still got to eat, you know, your schedule's packed, and now you've got this second job of like being a social media manager for your own content just so you can sell art that you made or an album that you made a year or two ago. And most artists that I know who are like really artistic types, they're like moving on from their product. It's like after you make it, you know, you make the thing, you bring it into the world, you're like, okay, and you move on to something completely different because you've expressed that part of yourself. But then you go, how do I sustain myself with art? And it's like, well, the answer is, you know, you open a gallery, you you promote your album, you do a release party, you do, you know, all this planning and all this, you know, social marketing and telling people about it, all these kind of things. Most artists are introverts. Most artists are not the kind of people who are going to go out there and like, you know, want to sit there and bang on a keyboard, you know, trying to drum up sales for this thing that they are so done with by now, even if it's brilliant. I mean, and we're also our own works critics. So it's like, we get tired of stuff and we're like, just, I can't listen to this anymore. And that's exactly the time when you've been like working on something for a year, 8 months, 9, 12, 15 months, whatever, that when it comes out to the world and it's finally shown, that's exactly the time where nobody's heard about it and it needs to get shared and seen. So it's like my wider question is how can we find and partner with these people who are really lit up and excited, like that's their jam, like doing marketing or doing sales or doing automations or using the tools and the software or the business side of things. How does that work? How do you get those people? The answer is usually you don't, because I mean, when it comes down to it, like, you know, let's use the record industry, for example. Records don't sell. Like they sell, but they make $10, which is half of what you made in 1998, you know. And then you also have the problem of, you know, streaming is like micro pennies. And, you know, so maybe some big YouTubers, when you get the big numbers, they're doing it. But now you have this wave of YouTuber quitting, where it's like, I've been doing this for 10 years and it's a grind and I am exhausted because I do everything, or I have to manage a team to get all the content out because every week I got to serve the algorithm. It's so much. And so, like, I wonder, like, you know, where are those people that can help us, or what are those tools or automations? What are the techniques that entrepreneurs have used to succeed? And so kind of my goal, my exploration, my curiosity with this series is to find out what is working for other artists and other creatives. What could we do to, like, supercharge our own creative power and output without the stress and without the burnout, and to maybe just simplify our process a little bit down to like really finding out who we are and what is the core of like what really lights us up in the time that we spend in our creativity. So we know when to like collaborate with other people who, like I said, you know, that's their jam. And maybe I know how to do that, but I shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to burn myself out doing that. And how do we network with other artists and creatives and amplify each other's work, each other's stories? So I celebrate the opportunity with this podcast because I know I have listeners. My numbers aren't huge because my releases aren't consistent. I've got like 3 episodes in the can right now, one of which is waiting to be edited because I'm too busy to get this file off to someone to do some light work on it. And I don't have the time to do it. I have 2 kids. Anyway, so like I know I have listeners who are telling me that they're listening to this podcast. And thank you if you are listening to this podcast, if you've been listening to this podcast, or if you're just catching up on this podcast. I feel like this podcast is evergreen. You can go back and look at any of the episodes from the last, since 2018. And I feel like you will take something of great, immense value out of it. And that's the feedback I've been getting from people. So thank you. So, definitely go back into the catalog. I am working on trying to get more consistent releases out because this is something that lights me up. And I've been getting the affirmation from people that this lights them up as well. But back to my point. I really, really relish the opportunity to share other artists' stories and to help, you know, myself and others learn from each other's work. And many of the artists that I feature are not anyone you've heard of. And I think that's kind of the point. There's also a reason why I don't like to do this podcast on video. I know I could get like tons more views, and I have tried to move the podcast onto YouTube, but because they do have a podcasting thing now. But in terms of shooting videos of this podcast, I don't know if I ever will, because for me, there's something about the spoken word format, the radio format, if you will, that just feels more like you can let your hair down as an artist. I interview some very introverted artists who never do interviews. And this actually gives them the opportunity to feel safe, to open up and to get deeper into their process and not just do the sales pitch version of themselves, but to really, really go deep into their soul's process. I mean, to me, art is soul work. Creativity is soul work. And I think from a spiritual perspective, if you want to look at it, you know, from that story, I almost feel like that's, the idea of we're made in the image of the creator because we are creators. And so I know Julia Cameron says that often. And there's something really powerful about when you say to yourself, I am creative. I am a creator. And so that's how I hope to inspire. That's why I like doing this show. I'm not going to stop because it fills me up. And, I could use a little bit of help if you have been enjoying the show, if you like the show. Go find us on iTunes and write a heartfelt review about your favorite episode, if you will, please. Because we need people on channels, especially the big ones like Google and iTunes Store, to have some reviews, because and also the stars really help. 5 stars really helps people to find the podcast, because what we're going to do, and hopefully we can do our part as I'm starting to get some help with the podcast, I hope that can sustain, but we're going to start to take some clips from various past episodes and repurpose the content on shorts and reels, because that's where discovery happens right now. And, there's so much great content, but just somebody to go through and actually cut down into 60-second little clips to start to spread the word there. So I will, of course, keep everybody posted when those are up. You can like, share it. I mean, we have a Facebook page for the Language of Creativity. Nobody's on it because we don't spend any time. We have our Instagram, which is at Language of Creativity, and you can join us there. And hopefully at some point I'll get some sort of group going so that people can have a discussion around the shows, or we can have some sort of community. But in the meantime, you can just shoot me an email. I'll try and make that available. It's podcast@stephenlevitt.com. And I realize that's hard to spell. So I'll try and put that in the show notes or something like that. podcast@stephenlevitt.com. So that is my sharing with y'all, trying to connect with you all. There will be more episodes coming soon. Oh, I almost forgot. This really cool thing that I've been doing. I was invited to be a part of a group called the Design Science Studio, which you can find on the web at designscience.studio, is a group of revolutionary artists who are committed to regenerative thinking and thinking that heals the world and works for 100% of life, design and art that promotes a world that works for 100% of life. And that is based on the work of Buckminster Fuller, who himself was a polymath and an artist who designed and developed many, many interesting things that we have, like the geodesic dome. There's another thing that I saw today at the Design Science Salon called the Dymaxion Map. And it helps you to see the geography of the world in a whole new way. There are so many different amazing things. My favorite quote from Buckminster Fuller was that we cannot fix existing systems by trying to change the system themselves. We have to build a better system that makes the old system obsolete. And so, yeah, that says everything for me. You know, I don't like to get into the divisiveness of our times, and it's about to probably get more intense with the election seasons coming up in politics. And that's probably the one area of the show that I really don't jump into is politics. I know that's some people's calling, but I feel like if we can start to connect with the human and the creative within each and every person, we can start to build the kinds of worlds that everybody wants to see and find those commonalities between people and differences that overlap in a way that builds a better world. So the Design Science Studio has really been a very inspiring place for me. It's been really wild to work with other R evolutionaries like Stephen Bao, who's in episodes, I believe it's 17 and 18, Designing the Future and Design for Resilience. I also have another podcast that I was doing last year that I will probably continue, named the Spaceship Earth Mission Log. And the Spaceship Earth Mission Log is basically a video podcast where I interviewed various project leaders from the Buckminster Fuller Institute Space Camp. And that was people who are doing these various really exciting projects to help the world in one way or another. And so if you go on there, you can find my interview with Della Burford and with there was an architect who designs in like non-Western perspective thinking, like landscape painting and things like that, and cubism and things like that. He was exploring that philosophically from how can we design architecture from a more whole systems, nature, including perspective. So check that out. That was a really brilliant show. I've also interviewed Della on my show for the Language of Creativity podcast, her episode about her dream wheels, which is painting your dreams. And it's just amazing. So I will most likely be interviewing many of the artists from the DSS soon on Language of Creativity as well. There are certainly some very powerful guests like Roxy from the Designs, who founded the Design Science Studio. I plan to have her on at some point very soon. So just to get myself excited, because I'm talking to myself right now, but I'm really not. I'm talking to you, my listeners, and I appreciate you so much. I really appreciate the feedback that I've been getting for the show, encouraging me to keep doing it, encouraging me that it's helping you, and that it's that you enjoy it. So please be sure to stay connected, and I will be releasing my next episode. I believe will be the drum tech who was with Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers for about 15 years on tour. So that was a really, really great episode I recorded last year. It's taken me, well, 2 years ago now. It's taken me a lot of time to get everything together. But really hope that you are able to enjoy what's coming up. And I will do my best to get those to you. So stay sane. Find your creative practice. Find your beautiful, quiet space to express your art. And know that you are creative too. This is the Language of Creativity podcast, and I'm Stephen Levitt. I will talk to you soon.